Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, Life Transformation Radio listeners. I am your host, Sean Douglas, speaker, master resiliency trainer, author, and I am here with my good friend, Kevin Lundquist. Kevin, what's up, brother?
What's up? Glad to be here, my friend.
Oh, man, this is awesome. So this show is listened to in 8 countries, and I am so grateful for the listeners that have made this show a possibility for me, and I want to thank listeners from Indonesia, India, Norway, Canada, United States, United Kingdom. Man, we got listeners in 8 different countries, and thank you. At the end of the show, it'll be uploaded to iTunes, so go on iTunes, search the shows, leave a review and a rating. I love reading the comments about how people have thought about the show. So I invite you guys to do that. Kevin, you ready to get into it, brother?
Oh, yes, sir. Let's do this.
All right. So Kevin Lundquist is going to be a missionary to Belize. His journey started back in 2006 when he went on his first mission trip to Spain. During that trip was where Kevin felt the Lord calling him to the mission field. Kevin continues to do short-term mission trips, and it was back in 2013 when he went to Belize for the first time and met Carol Nagy, founder of the Carpenter's House Ministry. When Kevin came home and had a team reunion, Miss Carol asked him to join her team and to learn and teach wood art. Kevin will now be taking what he has learned into Belize. He will also be heading into Honduras to teach this life skill as well. If you want to know more about the Carpenter's House Ministry, you can go to the websites are all in the show notes, but it's Carpenter's House Missionary Project.com. And we even have a donation page. If you feel like you're compelled to leave a donation, there's a donation page, give.iphc.org/missionaries/220341. Go ahead and leave a donation if you feel so inclined to give a donation. But, dude, are you excited or what, man? You're getting ready to go.
I'm excited. I would be over there right now if I could.
That's awesome. So what is your why, man? We always start the show off with a why. Like, what is your why? Why are you going to be a missionary, and why specifically to Belize?
Well, the why is to why I want to be a missionary is to be able to bring hope to people that may have lost it or have never found it and are looking for something that they know is there, but they don't know exactly what it is.
Okay, cool.
It's one of the things, like in the bio that he just read, you know, I've been called to the mission field since 06, where I went to my first mission trip to Spain. First time leaving the country, first time traveling by myself without my family. It was probably, the last night we were there. We were sitting in the mission's office, and we were just praying and having our devotion, you know, the last time with the missionaries there. And I just felt God calling me to the mission field. At that time, I didn't know where, didn't know when, didn't know what I would be doing. And so from that moment up until 2013, when I went to Belize, I continued to pray, God, where do you need me? Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? And, so it took from 2006 up to 2013 to get my answers that I'd been looking for. And God blessed me with the opportunity to go into Belize. And the funny story about that is I'm a youth leader out here at the Bridge Church in Princeton. And I was coming in one morning to help set up, do my regular routines. And my buddy Josh, who was the youth leader youth pastor at the time, he told me, he's like, man, what are you doing? You're supposed to be up in the meeting. And I was like, what are you talking about? What meeting? He said, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. You're going to Belize this summer. I thought, oh, okay, sounds good. So I went upstairs, met Jerry Allen, and got everything set up, and we went to Belize that summer, and I got to meet Miss Carol Nagy, who is also a member of our church here at the Bridge, and she's been doing mission work for quite a few years before I actually got to meet her. And so on this trip, I was her right-hand man. I helped carry her suitcases and stuff like that, just doing what I normally would do. And so a couple weeks after we get back, we kind of have a reunion get-together, you know, pros and cons of the trip, what can we do better next year. And it was during that time Carol Nagy just kind of pulled me to the side and was like, look, you know, what do you think about my wood art? I said, I love it. Wish I could do something like that. And then she asked me, well, where do you see yourself in the next couple years? I said, honestly, I would love to see myself on the mission field. I said, that's why I feel God's calling me. I said, but, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord to tell me where he wants me. And then at that time, she said, well, look, she said, I'll tell you what. I will train you in the wood art, teach you the trait, but you're going to have to take my spot on the mission field when I step in. And so it was from that moment, it was back in September 2013, where God kind of opened the door for me to be able to start learning the wood art, and he blessed me with the ability to be able to pick it up quickly.
Wow.
And so from there, I started working with Miss Carol Nagy. She started training me. She set me up with my own shop, and I started doing the wood art. She taught me the basic. And then I kind of took it from there and kind of started doing wood turning, making bowls, vases, stuff like that. And so now the why is why I'm going to Belize. First off, like I said, in 2013, my first year there, I fell in love with the people. And I know they needed something, because over there, if your family don't already own a business, most likely you won't get a job. I just want to be able to go over there and teach them a life trait that they can carry on for the rest of their life. And that's what the Carpenter's House Ministry is all about. The cool thing about this ministry is that it doesn't only have to deal with wood art. It can go to, you know, I can bring people in, maybe teach electrical work or painting or, you know, maybe cutting people's hair, being a hairstylist. Whatever the case may be, I can bring people in to be able to teach the ones that want to know and learn.
Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really exciting, seeing God open up so many doors so quickly after the years of praying for it.
Dude, I'm, like, blown away right now. Like, just hearing your story, man, I'm just... Bro, dude, I'm, like, blown away. Like, you didn't even know that the meeting was happening. You're like, well, you know, it's whatever, you know. And so, I mean, if Josh wouldn't have said anything, then you probably would have been missed out on some things, huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yes, sir.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's one of the things, everything happens in God's timing. Sometimes it might not be our timing, but he knows more about what we need and the time we need it than we do.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah, brother. Nailed it. So what do you think was exactly your transformation? You know what I mean? Like, take me back. Like, who was Kevin in 2000? You said 2006 you started getting that. So let's go back that far. 10 years ago, who was Kevin Lundquist?
I've always been involved in church my whole life, and I've always had that servant's heart to be wanting to be able to serve. And I came from I actually came from a Free Will Baptist church when I was growing up. That's where we went.
Oh wow!
And we had a small youth group. It was just a few of us, but we were able to go and do puppet ministry and different stuff like that. And I wouldn't say that.
Hold on. Did you say puppet ministry? Like puppets?
Yes, sir. I mean, old school.
Okay. We got it. Okay. Talk to me about that. What do you mean puppet?
Well, what we'll do is basically what we did is we either had skits or maybe do a song, and we would portray it by using the puppet.
That is fascinating.
It was a cool little ministry. Yeah, it was really fun. I enjoyed it. Got to spend time with my friends that I grew up with, youth-wise anyways.
Yeah. Wow, man. I had to stop because I thought you – I wasn't sure. I was like, did you say puppet? Okay, I got you. I'm game. I'll play your game. I got to know
now,
more.
Now I'm not talking like sock puppets. I mean, we had like the legit puppets.
Yeah, right. Like, the ones on the string, like the puppets on a string.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. That's awesome, dude. That's like so fascinating to me. I'm sorry, keep going, man. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just So transformation. So Kevin, you grew up Baptist church, and so you're involved in all that, and yeah, so take us from there.
And, like I said, I grew up Free Will Baptist, and I knew there was something a little bit more to God than what they were giving me, and I hate to say this, but back after my last trip traveling with E-Team, which E-Team is where they get high school students from all across the United States, they get together, do a week of training, and then they do 2 weeks on hand in field with the missionaries, and that's the group I traveled with from 2006 up to 2008. Well, I came home on fire for God, just got done serving in Mexico, and we're having our youth night, and I'd already had my presentation, made a PowerPoint. I mean, I was ready to tell the people, because I mean, they're the ones that supported me into getting to Mexico, and so mm-hmm. I just want to let them know what the money did, what God did through me there. And well, I kind of had the youth pastor there at the time kind of pulled me to the side, and he said, "Hey, I need to call you. I need to talk to you for a minute." He says in my office, and basically on our youth service, like we've done before, I had my praise band T-shirt on, my shorts, and I kind of dressed how I was ever in Mexico.
Right.
And he kind of wasn't too excited about how I was dressed because of where he came from, and he basically told me that I wasn't allowed to get on stage the way I was dressed, and just kind of basically told me that I wasn't going to be able to tell the people about what God did for me, while we were there. And it just kind of hit me wrong. And I told him, he said, "Well, you can just do it next time we have a youth service." And I was like, "No, you know what? It's okay." I said, "Don't worry about me. I'm gone." And so it was kind of like, thinking back now, I probably could have handled it a lot better than the way I did.
Probably.
But by me leaving that church, I was able to start coming here to my mom's church, which was Whitley at the time, which is now the Bridge.
Okay.
And just by switching over there, I've learned a lot more about God and, spiritual gifts and different stuff like that I wouldn't have known if I wouldn't have had that falling out. And I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't had that falling out. And so it was just kind of one of those things. It was crazy how it happened. But like you said earlier, everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And I feel like I probably needed that to be able to leave that church, because that's where I grew up. That's where I was, where I was baptized, where I was raised. I mean, from nursery up until that time, I was there. And so by that happening, I ended up starting out here at Whitley, which is now the Bridge, and got to meet some awesome people, got to meet Miss Carol, got to, I got to be able to do what I feel God's calling me to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said, man. Well said. So what do you think was the best part about your transformation?
I think the best part about it is basically finally being able to hear from God to be able to understand his calling that he has on my life, and to be able to build that relationship to a whole new level.
Cool. So what was the worst part about it?
I would probably say the worst part about the whole ordeal was having a fallout with the youth pastor there at the time and leaving some of the people that I've known for my whole life, and they were like other grandparents to me, and they took me leaving kind of hard too, and like I said, I feel like I could have handled it a whole lot better than I did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's awesome that you said the best part was about, you know, accepting and knowing, you know, God's calling for you. And, you know, I talk to people about some of this stuff sometimes, and I don't know, man. It's like I wish one time I could just hear, like, an audible voice. You know what I mean? Like, hey, go do this. And you're like, yes. You know, like, you know for a fact, undoubtedly, you know what I mean, that this is the direction that you're supposed to go. I think a lot of people feel that way sometimes. Like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but I really have faith that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, until you absolutely know. Like, right now, and I started going back, going to the Bridge Church in July, August of 2014. And I love the Bridge Church Princeton in North Carolina. Like, literally, there's two sayings, right? We always talk about the church has left the building because the church is in you and not necessarily the, you know, the pastor. And I mean, Pastor Farrell and all the past teams. And, I mean, we have a great team over there. But I love how they just put that on you. It's just like, that's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. You are the church, you know. You're the vessel, you know. And the second one is, you know, belong before you believe. Because when I came there, mm-hmm. I was so anti-religion. I wasn't so much anti-God. You know, but I did feel like there was a lot. It's kind of like, you know, somebody between like a son and a father, like there's some hurt between them two and there's some unresolved issues. And if you don't work those out, then it's just going to be that thorn in the side. That's how I felt, you know, when I went back to church, which is like, man, I felt like I needed him and he was just not there. He let me fail in life, you know, I learned to kind of to feel things more than hear things. You know what I'm saying? And so I know when I'm not doing God's purpose. Like I absolutely know because I can feel it. You know?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what happened with you? Is like, do you know for a fact that this is God telling me what to do because you either heard it, feel it, seen it, something? Like, how do you know that God is telling you to do this?
Well, you know, a lot of people, like going back to what you're saying, like a lot of people feel that when God is calling you or telling you or trying to talk to you, that you're going to hear this, you know, ginormous, you know, voice from God saying, oh, I need you to do this or do this. And a lot of times it's in the whisper, in the quietest moment when it's just you and him is when he speaks to you the most.
Mm.
And sometimes.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's hard to get in that quiet place because there's so much stuff going on. And we get so busy that we overbook our scheduling. And we try to get as much stuff as we can within a day. And I really don't feel that God wants us to completely pack our schedule out because, you know, even when he created the earth and everything, like on the seventh day, he rested. Like, he took time to rest. And that's, I know for me, I'm talking to myself right now, that, you know, sometimes that's just the hardest thing to do is just to rest. And that's why Psalms 46, one of my favorite verses, because it says, be still and know I am God.
Heck yeah,
and
man.
So going back to, you know, knowing that I was called, you know, even if I, knowing that I was called to believe, I think it was, I want to say it was our, no, it was our first trip there. It was our first trip there. A small group of us was taking some of the village people, the people of Holikte, the Belizeans. For people that don't know, Holikte is a Mayan village that is borderline Guatemala. One of our churches that we have there, when you step out in church, you can look behind it, and you can see Guatemala. I mean, that's how close we were.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's really, really close. And so some of the Belizean people were getting baptized, and so they invited a small group of us to go down, which is a blessing in itself, because we didn't find this out until later, because we kind of had an incident with one of the native girls, ended up getting sick. And that's another God thing that we were there at that time, because if we wouldn't have been there, she would have died within the next few days. So a group of us took the little girl back into the hospital, which was about a couple-hour drive. And so while they were going doing that, they kind of pulled us to the side and wanted us to go to the baptism. And so we had to walk quite a little ways to the river. And as we're walking, you kind of hear like a something in the bushes. And so at that time, we've been there all week. You're just assuming that it's a dog or a chicken, because they're running around everywhere down there. And then next thing you know, we're surrounded by guards, AK-47, finger on trigger, ready to shoot. And it was during that time where I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I'm a unique individual anyways, but I try to put myself as a normal person in that situation. And most of the time people will be like, you know, this is not where I need to be. God, get me out of here. I'm not okay with this. You know, something needs to happen. But for me, when I was put in that situation, I just started praying. I said, God, I said, if it's my time to go, then allow them to shoot me in the head and go ahead and get it over with. Not for my sake, but for my family, knowing that I didn't suffer. That was a quick death, whatever. Oh, excuse me.
Wow.
And then I was praying, God, but if it's not my time and you get me out of this, then glory to God, you saved my life. So for me, it was a win-win situation. And it was at that moment when I knew that's where I needed to be, that Belize is where my heart is, where God's calling me to be.
Dude, that's an amazing story. Oh, my God. I'm on the edge of my seat. Like, what's going to happen? Like, dude. Wow, man. It's just, amen, brother. I mean, God is always there when we least expect it, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, really. And I have spiritual reminders that I've developed through my resilience training. And, you know, it's times like that, you know, you'd already, you know, quoted scripture. And I just got me thinking, you know, this whole story is like, you know, what is my spiritual reminder? I tell everybody, like, you have to have a spiritual reminder, because undoubtedly you're going to go through adversity and you're going to go through an obstacle, a roadblock, whatever. And you're either going to go through it, around it, over it, under it, or it's going to stop you in your tracks for the rest of your life. And people will live in the past hurt and the past pain, and they will put an address on it, and they will plant their mailbox on it and say, I'm living here. This is where I'm living, you know, and they're not moving past. And so I've developed spiritual reminders, you know, that helped me through it. And my all-time favorite one is Jeremiah 29:11 through 13, but – you know, just because he knows the plans for us. Like, he just undoubtedly knows what, I mean, already, like, you know, I'm 34. He already knows what I'll be doing when I'm 70, 80, 90, you know, however many years old. You know, I mean, he just knows what I'll be doing. I have no idea. But, you know, I just have to have the faith that whatever he has planned for me, you know, because he says plans to prosper, not to harm you, you know, and he is. He's going to take care of us and prosper us. But according to his riches, according to his will, according to his rule, according to, you know what I mean? Because my rich, my wealth, my whatever is different than what he has, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that scripture. And then another one that I was just completely thinking about, you know, is 1 John 4:4. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You know, when God lives in our heart, you know, and he is in us and he is with us, you know, we are a much more effective tool than if God was just in the world somewhere and people were going to look for him. You know, when we leave the building, right? Because we are the church. When we leave the building, you know, it's just we are like we are his. What did Pastor Farrell call it? We are his ambassador. We are the ambassadors of God and Jesus. And yeah, man, absolutely. I love that. So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, man, we are talking to Kevin Lundquist. I am blown away at what I've learned so far and just how God has made an impact in his life. We are a live show. So if you want to call in, you have Kevin questions for Kevin, you can call in this number, 657-383-1109. Again, the call-in number to ask Kevin a question, a legit question, is 657-383-1109. If you have a question for Kevin, let us know, a legit question. Call us. Let us know. So let's continue on, man. So I got to know, man, who is your biggest influence? I mean, of course, God and Jesus and, you know, but really, like, who is your biggest influencer?
Quite a few.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd have to go back to my parents, my mom, okay. My stepdad, my dad.
Sure.
Because when they found out that I felt called to the missions, or called to missions, and that especially now that I'm getting ready to move to Belize, you know, they back me 100%. They, you know, they're with me, whatever I need, whatever, you know, if I need a specific, you know, prayer request or whatever, you know, they've got my back. I know, you know,
awesome.
knowing that, you know, that something could happen to me, that, you know, they're not, you know, right there where they can physically get to me. You know, I know it's hard on them, but going back, you know, a little ways back to my, you know, I think it was my second year traveling. I was back in 2007. I was heading to Panama, and my mom's a hairdresser, and so she was getting ready for one of her clients to come in, and she was filling out some of the paperwork that she had to fill out for me to go, and one of the paperwork was if I were to die over in Panama, would they be willing to pay to have my body shipped back? And
jeez.
That's just. And so, you know, being a parent, which, I mean, I have no experience in that because, you know, I'm not a parent.
Right.
But I just got to put myself in their shoes. Like, you know, that would be hard for me to fill out, knowing that something possibly could happen. And so one of our customers came in and asked her, like, well, what are you filling out? And she was telling them. And she said, how can you do that? How do you feel about that? And my mom just answered her and said, she said, look, she goes, at first it was hard for me to do this, to fill this out. But then I started thinking and God kind of gave me peace about it, saying that, you know, I'd rather my son, if something were to happen to him while he's, you know, doing what God's called him to do and doing God's work, then something would have happened if I was here back home getting involved with drugs and alcohol. And, you know, because she said, you know, when it's his time to go, it's his time to go. It don't matter where he's at.
Right. Wow.
You know, and so that was pretty cool, you know, that my mom and my family, they had my back. And then, like, one of the biggest influences for me and, you know, for what I'm doing, I would have to say it would be Miss Carol Nagy, because she knew me, but she really didn't know me.
Uh-huh.
But she's poured her life into me, entrusting me with carrying on her ministry that she founded. And that's, I mean, that's some big, big shoes to fill.
Sure.
And luckily I've got big feet. But still, you know, overall, that's a great honor for somebody to build up their ministry and to say, look, you know, here it is, I'm trusting you, take it, just explode it into Belize, excuse me, believe in wherever, you know, God's calling you to go. And she's even said ever since, excuse me, she's even said ever since she's pulled me on board that things are happening a lot faster than when it was just by herself. And that she had been praying for somebody to come and take her role. And God just kind of put me in her life, and she, and he put her in my life. And I mean, she's basically family to me now. And
cool.
And just, she's done so much for me. Like, she set me up with my own shop. She got me started. And then just with everything that she's done for me, I would probably have to say she would probably be my most influence in this part of my life.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Man, I say that a couple of times. Man, I just sit back and think about it. I'm like, man, like, if this person wouldn't have come into my life, man, it'd be a whole lot different. You know, I've got a couple of friends like that. You know, like, you know, everybody at the Bridge, you know, you included, Mark Lutz and the guys that we serve with over at, you know, over at the Riot and, you know, Bridge Church and just, man, there's so many people, you know, Davenport and all those guys, man, they're just, man, I think about the times that I was struggling and someone comes into my life, helps me, and then I just don't even talk to them anymore. You know, and sometimes people come into our life for a reason, for a season, for a long time, for a short time. It's just, you know, they're there, and whether they stay or not, it's not really, I mean, up to us, really. I mean, they're there for a reason, and then sometimes we lose contact with them. You know, I haven't talked to people in a couple of years, and all of a sudden we bump back into each other, or I'll see them online. I'm like, holy crap, dude. I send a message, hey, what's up? And they're like, whoa, I haven't spoken to you in forever. We just reconnect, and then it's like we never, you know, stop talking, you know, and it's just amazing, man. God puts people on our path, you know, for a reason, and he can open doors that nobody else can close, and it's just amazing just to think where we would be, you know, if people wouldn't have come into our life at the moment that they did.
I completely agree with you with that, and, you know, just going on, you know, talking about friends and stuff that's been a big influence, you know, like Josh Overton, Enoch, just some of my friends that, you know, I don't get to really spend time with them or talk to them as much as I'd like to.
Sure.
But it's one of those things, like, when I do have that opportunity, it's just like we never – like, I really do feel like I could be gone for, like, 5 years and come back and, you know, hang out with them, and it's like nothing ever happened. Like, you know, that 5 years was never happening. Like, we've always, you know, feel like we need friends like that.
Right.
To help support us, you know, and just kind of hold us accountable.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. So I want to ask you, if you had to go back, would you change anything or would you do anything different?
Well, if I could go back, you know, I probably wouldn't date some of the people that I dated.
That's awesome.
Man, it's just,
of course.
Yeah. You know, just sitting back now, just like, you know, nothing against them. Like, they're awesome people, both married, both have kids now. But, like, I almost feel like if I wouldn't have dated them, per se, that maybe they had found the ones that they're supposed to be with a little bit sooner than what they would have.
Nah.
And
well,
then,
maybe you were preparing
then,
them to meet the person.
True. And so, I mean, just, you know, in that situation,
yeah.
And then, if I could go back, I would probably want to redo school all over again, only if I could know what I know now. Because I kind of got senioritis like my freshman year.
Me too.
And I just,
yep.
I didn't care about school. I didn't, you know, I was tired
of, still don't.
You know, oh yeah. And so I was tired of, like,
you to go to college? Yeah.
Do what?
Like, nope. I said, people always ask me, you go to college? I'm like, nope.
Well, I mean, I honestly can say that I did like a year and a half of college.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's about it.
Yep.
But if I could go back, I would graduate top of my class, have a full ride to any college of my choice. But you know, I've learned from things that, you know, different experiences in my life, things that I've gone through, and I feel like I probably wouldn't be here today doing what I feel God's calling me to do if everything would have happened the way that I feel like I wanted it to happen.
Right. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So what do you think was the best resource? Oh, go ahead, man.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Hey, what was the best resource that you found? I mean, I know we're talking about God, and I know, you know, Bible's, you know, number one, but outside of that, I mean, what was the best resource that you have found during your journey?
I would have to say Right Now Media is a good
Right
first.
Right Now Media, okay.
Right Now Media. Basically, I have a bunch of different Bible studies. It has a lot of different things on there that you can kind of search through, like if you're going through different things in your life and you just don't know where to really look. It has a lot of stuff on there. And then just like devotional books, even just like YouTube. You can YouTube Andy Stanley, Craig Garcia, Francis Chan. A bunch of them's got some awesome, awesome books, awesome testimonies, really good service, sermons and stuff. And just like speaking on which, last year we were preparing to go to Belize as a team through the church, and Jerry Allen wanted us to do kind of a Bible study before, during our trip. And so he wanted us to read the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan. And,
Crazy Love.
Do what now?
Is it Crazy Love?
Crazy Love.
Okay.
And it's me personally, I'm not a reader. I don't have time to really read books. But I made time to read this one, and I'm really glad I did. Because there was a lot of things challenging, a lot of challenges that he kind of, you know, proposed to you to, you know, and it was really cool because it was talking about, you know, going on mission trips, doing this. And one of the things he challenged us was, you know, most of the time, like when we get ready to go on a trip or do something, we always pray God, watch over us, protect us, you know, keep us safe, you know, that normal prayer
yep.
that we do. But he challenged us not to pray that. He challenged us to, you know, God challenge us. You know, let stuff not happen the way it's supposed to. Let us, you know, if it's meant for us to, you know, be in trouble, you know, let it happen. Let us, you know, just open our eyes to be able to see the things that we wouldn't see if you're, you know, watching over us and protecting us. And it was just, it was really, because that's a hard prayer to pray.
Yeah.
And so it was just one of those things, like, you know, I pray, God, let this be a hard trip. Let us learn something from it. And God, use
yeah.
us in a way that you want us to be used. And I would have to say, like, this was one of the greatest, hardest trips that we had, because nothing went right. Nothing. You know, nothing went smoothly.
Be careful what you pray for.
But it was one of those things, like, we had it planned out, you know, get the lumber to the village so we can get this done. And there was a lot of stuff we wanted to get done. And so, like, the lumber is supposed to be there at you know, 9 o'clock that morning. And it didn't show up till 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. And
jeez.
So there was a lot of time we had free time because we didn't have the lumber to be able to do the work that we wanted to get done. And so God set that up so we could you know, build an even better relationship with the people there in the village.
Right. And so it was,
you know, amazing to be able to, you know, first off, to be able to work hand in hand with the Mayan people in Halicte, and just, you know, hearing their stories, hearing where they, you know, where they came from, and, you know, the struggles that they deal with. And I really feel like if everything would have run as smoothly as we wanted it to, that we would have missed out on some of the stories and that building a relationship, because that's the key in missions is, yeah, you want to go there and, you know, help them out, give them what they need. But sometimes what they really need is somebody to listen, somebody to actually understand what they're going through, and to build a relationship with them, to, you know, expand the family.
Wow. That's very good insight, man. That's very good insight. You need to identify with what they're going through and identify, you know, and kind of empathize a little bit. Yeah, wow.
And just kind of give you a little story.
Awesome.
Just to give you a little story of what happened this past year over in Belize. We were actually eating in the pastor's house, which is a great honor over there in Belize, and it took us like 3 years to be able to get to that point. But as we're sitting there eating, Jerry Allen is standing up, you know, talking with Manuel, and, you know, they're eating, and Manuel asks, you know, Jerry, what do you do? And Jerry's like, well, you know, I'm here helping you guys, you know, I'm doing this. And he goes, no, back home. What do you do back home? And Jerry said, well, I'm a lawyer. And then Manuel's like, well, what are you doing here? Like, what? You're too good to be here.
Whoa.
And it was one of those things because, like, Jerry, he said, Manuel, he said, no, I'm not. He said, I'm just like you. He said, how do you put on your pair of pants in the morning? You know, and of course, Manuel said, one foot at a time. And Jerry said, look, that's what I do. I'm exactly like you. You know, I'm not better than you are. And just, you know, to see how we, you know, especially like Jerry, you know, leaving his job, leaving his family, leaving everything that we're comfortable here, leaving all this behind to go over there to help, you know, help rebuild the church or help do Bible school, whatever we're doing over there.
All right.
And they see it. And just seeing, like, their face because see what happens is a lot of times, and I hate to say this, but a lot of times people go on mission trips, and a lot of churches host mission trips to do that, the feel-good trip, and basically they go over there, go over to the country for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, and basically they serve, they do whatever they need to do, they get a flag, and bring it home, and okay, yeah, we did this, we did this, we did this, and then they never go back. And so over in Belize, especially in the Mayan village, you know, they see us, our first year there, they see us as visitors.
Okay.
Because they see teams come in and out all the time. And so we had to build that trust with them, saying that we will be back, that, you know, we're invested, that we're here for a long period of time, like we're here until, you know, God calls us out otherwise. And so it took them time to build that relationship, to build that trust. And so, like, going back to, like, the meals and, like, eating lunch, because we always eat lunch in the village. Well, the first year we go, like I said, we were visitors. And so the ladies of the village cooked the food and then brought it to the church. And then the second year we come, they see, okay, yeah, they're back, you know, they're here, okay, we'll trust them a little bit. And so the second year we ended up going down to the pastor's house, and they had a big tent set up outside, and that's what we ate. We ate outside of the pastor's house. And then the third year we got there, you know, they see that we're back, you know, they're like, okay, they're real. They're really, really, really want to help us. They really want to build this relationship, and they really do care about us. And so that third year for lunch, we actually ate inside the pastor's house. And for us to be able to do that, it was a great honor to be able to do that. And so, it takes time to build that relationship. It takes time. It takes an effort on our part to be able to go in year after year and to let them know that, hey, we're still here, that, and it's one of those things that you don't really realize this, because I know I didn't. And like I said, I've been on so many different mission trips. I've been involved in mission for over 10 years now. And Brother Gene, he was like, look, he said, when you come back next year, he said, these kids, they will remember your name. Like, these people will remember your name. And I was like, yeah, okay, it's going to be a year. I highly doubt they're going to remember a Southern boy from North Carolina. And sure enough, the next year we come, the kids run out, and they run up to you like, Mr. Kevin, welcome back, and they're so excited to see us. And it blew my mind that they remembered me after a year, that they remembered me. And I fell in love with those people. I fell in love with the people of Holiday and the people of Belize. And it's hard for me, and of course, coming home from a mission trip and everything, and people ask you, like, well, what was the hardest part, or what was the greatest part? And they would ask, well, what was the hardest part of the whole trip? And I sat there. I said, look, I said, the hardest part was getting back on the airplane and coming home. I said, when you're in a place that you knew God's called you to be and you have to leave, I said, that was the hardest part of that trip. And they just kind of look at me like, what? And I'm like, well, I love being able to be here with my family. I love, in my, immediate family, my church family. But if I had to choose to either stay here or leave the country and never come back to the country, if I knew that that's what God's called me to do, then, I would have no other choice than to leave the country. And I knew my family would back me behind that in that decision. It would be a hard decision, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But when you're in a place that you know God's called you to be, it's extremely hard to leave.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as we close, man, give us a shameless plug, like, for no other reason. Like, just plug whatever you want, man. Give us a shameless plug. Go.
Alrighty. Well, I've got to give a shout out. Not kind of a shout out, but kind of an information that if anybody here is local in Princeton area, we're having a spaghetti dinner tomorrow night at the Bridge in Princeton in the Impact Building. It will be spaghetti, salad, bread, desserts, and drinks. And it's $8 a person. We'll start serving at from 5 to 7. All the money that we raise is going to go to Belize this summer to help support our team. And so come on out, bring your family. We're just trying to raise that money to be able to get back. We'll get the team back to Belize this summer.
Awesome.
And so that's kind of a little bit of everything that, I've got to say. And if you feel God calling you to support me, please check out the donation page. You can do a one-time gift. You can do monthly, or you can do annually. I really need support. I need about $600 a month coming in, or $600 more a month coming in, to be able to hit my goal to be able to support me for the 2 years as I'm getting ready to go into the mission field. So please, pray about it. If it's $5, $100, whatever God's laid on your heart to be able to give, please just, please support me. Pray about it. Support me. And can't support me, please continue to pray for me.
Perfect.
So I think that's it now.
That's awesome, man. So, got one last thing for you. As you wrap up and close, deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone.
Continue to have faith that God will do what he said he's going to do. You know, it goes back, you know, God in the Bible, God says, if you have the seed of a faith of the seed of a mustard or mustard seed, pound. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. But the cool thing about that is God didn't say you're only going to have the faith the size of a mustard seed.
Right.
We have as much faith as we, you know, can possibly ever, you know, we can forever take. But yet we forget that we have that, and so we're not moving mountains. As Christians,
right,
we should be moving a lot more mountains and stepping out in faith and trusting in God, but we don't. We forget that. We lose sight of God. Not necessarily lose sight of God, but lose sight of faith. And faith is a big, big deal, especially in this ministry and when you walk with God. And so continue to have faith. Continue to build your faith. And trust God with everything you have. I promise you it'll be worth it.
Boom. Mic drop. Dude, I love it, man. This has been amazing. Man, I feel inspired by you and everything that you're taking on. And just like you said, man, having that faith and living it out. So, dude, I love it, man. If you want to get more information, go to the Carpenter's House Missionary Project.com. Dude, Kevin, this has been amazing, and I want to thank you for coming on the show, telling us your story, and giving us kind of a little insight on what it takes to be a missionary, man. I really appreciate your time.
No problem. I enjoy being here, and I thank you again for the invite, and just, you know, thank you for what you do.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. So,
no
Life
problem.
Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another episode of inspiration, motivation, and just transformation in people's lives. I love having people come on the show and tell us how they've transformed, because you never see the behind-the-scenes work that people do. You never see the struggle that they go through and the ups and downs and the roller coasters that they endure. All you see is a little tip of success or the tip of what they're doing, but you never see or hear the work that's gone into it. And this is my chance to get it out there and talk about people's transformation. So as we close, remember, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out your values. I call it living your brand. And until next time, live your brand. Have a good night.